Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Alex sent me a story out of California, and this is one that is interesting. Disbarred attorney sentenced to 15 months for tax evasion. From Bakersfield.com, Melanie Wynn wrote this. A former Bakersfield divorce lawyer who was disbarred in 2018 was sentenced to 15 months in prison Monday after being convicted on a federal tax evasion charge. The woman's 51 years old was sentenced for a count of tax evasion. Other charges were dismissed. This is a reasonable disposition under the circumstances, and she was pleased with the outcome, said her attorney. She was charged in 2020 with stealing $3.5 million from her clients to support her lavish lifestyle, then not reporting her illicit income to the IRS, according to a sentencing statement submitted by prosecutors in the case. The statement said that she used the money to buy a yacht and a luxury car. I'm Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a yacht and a luxury car. That's what he would have said today. Simply put, a lawyer cannot be allowed to steal millions of dollars from their clients to live the high life and reap a windfall by avoiding the taxes. Yeah, because that's the crazy part. You steal 3.5, you pay taxes on that, it'd be much less. According to court documents, she told her divorce clients that she could hold funds for them in attorney trust accounts during their divorce proceedings. However, she used that money for personal use rather than for her clients. She was disbarred in 2018 after she failed to show up in court for her trial in state bar court on charges of misappropriating $1 million that was supposed to be set aside for clients. And so the process for attorneys getting disbarred, it's very, very much like litigation, but it's handled separately. And the interesting thing here is that she didn't even show up. And so, as you might know, as I've talked about it before, if you have a trial that is being held and you should be there and you don't show up, bad things will happen. Civil cases, you'll get defaulted. Criminal cases, warrants will issue for your arrest and so on. And so for her to not show up, and she's an attorney and she's the subject of the investigation, she knows full well that she should have been there. And her not being there doesn't bode well for her. The U.S. Attorney's Office of the Eastern District of California declined to comment. She's been ordered to self-surrender by October 4th, according to a spokesperson for the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of California. And it might seem kind of light, only 15 months for stealing $3.5 million. But again, they're getting her on the tax side of that, the tax side of that. So this is bizarre, but that's the entire story. And, you know, the crazy part is, I've mentioned before that the Michigan Bar Journal is a magazine. It still comes out in paper form. So I get it once a month, and I flip through it, and there's two sections I check, neither of which I want to be in. The front section is all the attorneys who've passed recently, and the back section is all the attorneys who've been sanctioned recently. And so the front section I check, and occasionally there'll be some guy that I've known for 30, 40 years who's passed away. And sometimes I'll recognize an attorney, maybe not somebody I knew, but I recognize the name. And so you read this list of all these people who've passed away. But in the back, it's attorneys who got in trouble. And what's amazing is you read these stories and you don't recognize any of the names usually. There's 35 to 40,000 practicing attorneys in the state of Michigan, so I don't know them all. But you'll see these stories and it'll say so-and-so from this obscure town and it gives their bar number so you can tell how long they've been an attorney. It gives their bar number and it goes, they were accused of the following things, and then the tribunal did an investigation, came to these conclusions and findings, and this is the result. And there's a couple things that happen over and over and over again. And the most common one is someone hires an attorney, gives them a bunch of money, and the attorney does nothing. And literally, it'll say, somebody complained and said the attorney took a retainer up front, $10,000 to handle some case, and did nothing. And so they're supposed to file a lawsuit, they're supposed to open a probate, they're supposed to do something. They didn't do anything, but they kept the money. And so it is strange, I admit this is strange, that in the law, many attorneys ask the clients up front for money. Now, I do lemon law, where my attorney fees are often paid by the manufacturers, such that I tell my clients, you don't need to pay me anything. I'll get it from them. It doesn't cost you a penny to get started. But I know people, I've known attorneys, who've said, if you want me to handle your case and you walk into my office, for me to say yes, you got to give me money up front. And they explain it by saying, well, if I'm going to start preparing your case, I got to start clearing everything off my dock. Got to do tons and tons of work. And I don't want to get in a situation 6 months from now where I send you a bill and you go, I don't know if I want to pay that. Well, I just did all this work. And by the way, I could have done work for other people who are willing to pay me. So it's not uncommon in some situations for an attorney to say, pay me up front. But it is uncommon for them to take your money and do nothing. And the scarier part is I've heard of attorneys who've settled cases where a big check came in. And like, let's suppose that you hire an attorney for a personal injury case. And you did it on a contingency. They said, no fee unless you win. And you won. And you got this big check. Let's suppose the check's $100,000. $100,000. Well, the costs of the file will come off of that. But let's assume there aren't any. Let's assume that your attorney wrote a scathing letter to the defendant that said, we demand $100,000. And they rolled over and they just threw the money at you. So now the attorney's got this check for $100,000. Okay? If they get a third, you get two-thirds. Now, I'm a busy man, but those are big numbers. But what a third of that check is would be around $33,000 with a bunch of threes following that off into infinity. And you would get the remainder. I've heard of attorneys who take that entire check, stick it in their trust account, spend it, and then when the client goes, when's the money coming in? They go, oh, hasn't come in yet. And they're hoping another case will settle so they can pay off the first person, and it becomes almost like a Ponzi scheme. And I've seen that happen in the back pages of the Michigan Bar Journal also. And so the sad part is that there are attorneys out there who run businesses, which are law firms, who aren't good at business, and they might be good at law. And so it's the same thing where you'll see somebody on, like, say, Shark Tank. They've got some brilliant invention, and they're marketing it wrong because they're an inventor, not a marketer. And so, you know, not all skill sets go to every single person out there. And so I've heard of people who started law firms. They had five or six attorneys who got together, and one of them was the business person, and one of them was the marketing person, and it worked out well. And so the interesting thing is that let's suppose, again, that you had the attorney who settled your case for $100,000, and he owes you $66,000, and you don't get the money. So now you're like, what's going on here? I've heard of people who've had to hire attorneys to sue their attorney to get their money back, which, think of the absurdity of that. But then more interesting is if the attorney took your money, did they pay taxes on it? I bet they didn't, because they'd have to declare it as income. And so what a lot of them, I suspect, do is they go, well, I'm just kind of borrowing the money and I'll pay it back as soon as another case settles. And of course, that's completely wrong. Because when the check comes into the attorney, it's in essence held jointly, that is for the joint benefit of the attorney and the client. And when the client releases the attorney's portion, that resolves it. It should resolve it, but it didn't resolve it. So the scary part here is the woman talked her clients into letting her handle their money. Now, I've never heard, and I could be wrong on this, but I've never heard of an attorney telling clients, by the way, if you want to stash money in my trust account, we can do that. Because trust accounts generally, yeah, they are for the safekeeping of money, which is often belonging to a client. But it's usually so that you can take a check that's made out to you and your client, put it in there with the client's permission, so that you can then cut two checks out. Because if I put that in my business account, well, a lot of that money's not mine. So that's how that goes. So it's a crazy story, but she's going to prison, just like Al Capone, not for the crimes that made the front pages, but for tax evasion. But she's already been disbarred. She's going to do 15 months in prison for this. And Melanie Wynn wrote that. Alex sent it. Thanks a lot. Disbarred attorney sentenced to 15 months for tax evasion. Questions or comments? Put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law.
Think about it. Hermits have no peer pressure.